Greetings. You're now listening to the most handsome and intellectually superior specimens on Earth. I could be wrong, but I doubt it. Starts now.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever time of day it is where you are. We hope that you're doing well. We're pleased to be able to bring you another episode of I Could Be Wrong, But I Doubt It. My name is Fresh, and we're thankful that you decided to join us today. Before we get to this week's episode, I'd like to remind you that if you like what you hear, to please, please, please go to Apple Podcasts and rate our podcast and give us a comment or two. And now, without further delay, we want to go ahead and get this thing rolling. I'd like to introduce my partner, who's a connoisseur of all things cultural. He's my partner, Podcast Crime. Reg, what is the deal playing?
Fresh, I hadn't seen you since the last time I saw you, brother. How you feeling, bro?
Man, I'm feeling good, man. What's up with you?
Good, man. Hey, I'm feeling pretty good.
That's what's up, man. That's what's up. Yeah, what are we talking about? What are we giving to people today, man?
Well, you know, in the past, you know, we had a few relationship discussions. I think maybe episode one was about relationships.
Yeah, and like, you, what is a real man?
Yeah, what's a real man? And usually when you hear the word relationship, you think about love and man versus woman. But today I was thinking about workplace relationships and like how we deal with, you know, our working environment, especially as Black Americans in general. A lot of cases we are maybe one of few, if not the only Black in the office. And, you know, we work 9 to 5. It's our hustle and bustle. And I think it's something that I want to sort of just discuss with you, bro, and try to get also some feedback from our listeners after this episode, as far as any advice or tips or what have you, as far as how to really get out of, how to stay sane in the workplace. I think that's something that we all struggle with, especially for those of us who have, you know, we work for employers.
So the name of this episode is going to be How Not to Slap a Motherfucker at Work.
That's a great title.
Okay, we'll go right,
especially
that.
From
How
Fresh.
How Not to Slap a Motherfucker.
How Not to Slap a Motherfucker.
Right. How Not to Slap a Motherfucker.
Yeah, and what's funny is, I've been in corporate America for like 20 years and 20 plus years, and I've seen some things. I'm sure you've seen some things in your working environments, and it really takes a lot. It really takes a lot. And you know, there have been some books that I've read. I'm sure a lot of people, you know, a lot of the listeners have some books and things that they've read, things that have sort of kept them in line. And there's one book that I just wanted to plug. I probably read it probably about 6 years ago. It's a quick read. It was called Expect to Win. It's written by a sister who's Carla A. Harris. And she really gave some good pointers, I thought, some things that sort of keep your head in the game. And depending on where you work, right, people work in different type of environments. I've been in the sort of the banking industry, and that has its, you know, it's a beast of its own. I've worked in environments where it's like cubicles, a large space with hundreds of people. And I worked in offices, you know, where I have my own office and door, what have you, and small and large teams. So it just depends on who you are out there. But I just wanted to share a few things that I picked up through this book and try to incorporate as I work day in, day out, if I may.
Okay. Yeah. Go ahead. Man, I will say this way before we get started, man. The one thing that I have that I picked up along my journey in corporate America, man, and it's really from I'm gonna take a word or a line from Biggie, man, who was number 9.
Taking lines from Biggie. All right.
Yeah, taking lines from Biggie.
Good for you, man.
Yeah. If you haven't listened to the Top 10 MC show, go ahead and check that out. Still our most listened to show. It really is more money, more problems, man, for real. It's like when I had less responsibility and I wasn't making any money, man, that shit was
gravy. You
were
chilling.
That shit was gravy. The minute that you start having Yeah. Fucking direct reports and shit like that, man. That's right.
Yeah, it's a fucking headache. They call it the hot seat.
It's a fucking headache, man.
Yeah, so, you know, instead of one, you know, bale of cotton, you got 20 bales of cotton you got to get, sir.
No, I mean, the funny thing is you got to make motherfuckers pick the cotton.
Yeah.
that's a,
yep. But you still got to report it to Massa. You still got to report it to Massa, so.
You're definitely in the house on that shit, though. Definitely in the house. It's like I said, more money, more problems, man.
Yeah, that's true, man.
So where you want to take us on this journey of
just a few pointers, man. A few pointers. Bring the real you to work every day.
Oh shit!
Now that I knew I would get that reaction from you. What does that mean?
You know I can't do that.
Like how do I? And in some cases, you know, depending on where you work, man, you may see, unfortunately, may see the wrong, you know, the real people come out. The hood and the ghetto fabulousness to come to work, but it, you know, in all seriousness, it means just be you. Of course, if you have a level of professionalism, you still want, you know, the real you to shine through your work, and so try not to be as, you know, pretentious with who you are at work, because people will end up respecting, and that's just in life in general, right? People will end up respecting you for what you present yourself to be. And so even at the job, you want that to happen because, first of all, you want to be comfortable in your own skin.
Man, you mind if I say something though, man? I'm gonna be real for a second, man, because, you know, when you talk about corporate America, man, most of the places that we work at, man, are unorganized. You know, they are bad cultures. You know, that's the majority of workplaces, man. And to be the real you, sometimes it forces you to actually bring your logic. I'm not in a position where I can bring logic and critical thinking, because that's not how. It's not how my enterprise operates at this particular point, or let's just say it's not to a point where they need what the fuck I'm thinking. You understand what I'm saying?
Right.
I mean, so you can't necessarily bring your real self to work all the time because, like I said, with me, you know, being analytical, you know, there's a lot of processes that I see that where there's a lot of wasted effort, a lot of wasted time. That if I had the power of the pen and sword, that, you know, you could trim fat, you could do things like that, but you know, you can't, you know, if you bring too much of the real you, and I'm not even talking about professionalism, let's just put out there that professionalism is going to be a given, let's just say that, you know what I'm saying,
right?
But it's just a lot of times when you cannot bring your true skill set to work. You see what I'm saying? You can't really do it all the time, man, because they don't appreciate this shit.
Well, I hear what you're saying. I think it's a difference in whether or not they receive it and accept it versus not bringing it at all. So I'm saying if you have a logical approach or whatever your strategy is to make, you know, to bring value to your team and your organization, what have you, still do that. And if it's shut down 20 times, I think, you know, then you have to go into yourself to say, okay, well, how do I deal with that? I'm going to keep bringing logic. I'm going to keep being me and saying the things that I think will help. And if it's shut down, the door is shut every time and they're not listening to me, I'm not heard, then now I have to deal with the next step. You see what I'm saying? So you still be you. So I hear what you're saying, but so the next stage of that is have an intentional agenda. So, you know, the agenda is, why am I here? You know, what am I doing? What type of value am I giving? How is it being received? And how am I being reactionary? Right? So to using your scenario just now, the reaction would be, okay, these clowns aren't hearing what I'm saying. You know, no one's paying attention to me the way that I feel that I need to be, you know, what I need to bring to the table. So how do I react? What is my total agenda of how to, you know, make this work. It, hey, do I have to reevaluate if this job is,
whether or not I want
to
be here?
Yeah.
Now.
What's my exit strategy now? Right, you know what I'm saying?
And you should always have an exit strategy though, man.
Right. Right. You should. It's just timing. Your time, you might say, you know what? I'm looking tonight for something else. I'm on the phone with somebody. I'm on what's that site?
Indeed.
Indeed. I'm on Indeed right now on my phone looking for something. Right. So, and some people might say, you know what? I see the writing on the wall. I'm giving myself 2 years here. You know, so it just depends. But you have to have that type of agenda. And wherever you are, find a mentor. I know that's like a buzzword. And sometimes you may not find anybody, right? But it's got to be someone who knows something that you can trust. If you can't, just try your best at finding someone you can trust. It could be a coworker, you know, somebody that's sort of parallel to you, maybe who's been there longer, where you can just sort of listen. What I found interesting or valuable is that if you just ask questions to folks, because white folks talk. You know what I'm saying? White folks talk a lot and they'll give a lot of information. And if you just ask questions and just sit back, sometimes you can soak it in. You know what I'm saying? So essentially they're indirectly mentoring you. But, you know, depending on the organization, there's some organizations that where you come in, they have programs set up. They have almost like an initiative for you to find a mentor who's, you know, maybe an executive or senior VP type of person.
And see, those are probably more of the successful companies, man.
I hear you.
Because most companies, man, they actually don't have that particular type of mindset. They just want to churn you and burn you until they can get, you know, exactly what they need out of you.
Yeah.
And if you move along, then that's fine. You know, we're always hiring anyway, kind of shit.
Right.
You
know, right.
It's like if you keel over dead, they'd be like, well, look, just make sure that you sanitize the chair.
Right. Yeah. But I mean, with anything, man, it's about work-life balance. I mean, I think that's something that's important to us all, man. It's trying to find how do I balance this thing with family, with other things, projects I got going on. Yeah, you know, we podcasting, this is a sacrifice for both of us. You're in school, you know. You're getting degrees, and so it's everything's a balance. So how do I, if that's your bread and butter, how do I balance that with everything else? I think that's almost a given, but try not to be attached to it.
Yeah. And I'm gonna be honest with you, man. I mean, you know, I'm real big on, you know, trying to be as transparent as I possibly can, but you know, in my work-life balance, man, I had to disconnect from that shit, man.
Right.
I had to like totally disconnect from him. I took like 2 months off, man.
Yeah.
I needed the time.
Yeah.
You know, I literally had to, you know, take 2 months off and because the shit was so fucking stressful, man. It was fucking ridiculous the amount of stress that I was under doing that job.
Right.
So when I came back, man, I can honestly say that I was a totally, totally different person. Fortunately enough, I have people above me that are understanding of my plight and are understanding of exactly what I'm trying to do personally and professionally. So they know that I got an extra strategy. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Because I think I've reached a point where I can't really go any further. They're not looking for brothers to be VPs and shit.
That's just not how they
roll.
Yeah.
So, you know, I know that, you know, I can probably make a bunch of lateral moves. I could collect some titles if I needed to collect a title per se. Right. But ain't no real bread in it.
I hear you.
You know what I mean? So, you know, so my chain of command knows, you know, where I'm at.
Right.
And, you know, I wouldn't necessarily call any of them mentors.
Okay.
But, you know, we all have similar circumstances, if you will, that yield a certain level of understanding.
Right, right.
You know, I can honestly say, I mean, as much as I hate the actual processes and things that I have to go through at my day job, I can pretty much say what I need to say, you know, to the people I report to. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It sometimes it has to fall on deaf ears because their hands are tied too. But it's because the culture doesn't yield enough opportunity for people's true skill set to show.
Right.
Because I work under some talented and smart people who have mastered the processes under which we work under. You know right. what I'm saying? I mean, they're masterful at what they do. And, you know, I don't mind being complimentary of them. I mean, you know, do we agree all the time? Nope. But, you know, from a skill set standpoint for what we need to be getting done in my particular realm, you know, I work with some pretty decent people, and they're decent people. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You know, the people I report to are decent people. They just can't help me. You know what I'm saying? They really just can't help me. So it's hard to be a mentor when you can't really offer, when you can basically look at the person that reports to you and say, look, brother, this is it.
You know what I'm saying? Right.
And that's kind of the situation that I'm faced with. But similarly, I feel like they won't ever say it, but I feel like that they're faced with the same situation. I mean, I can see it.
Okay.
You know, because I mean, that's just how the company is set up. Yeah. Nonetheless. Anyway.
So, yeah. So, you know, you've assessed your environment and your situation, and even though that sounds easy,
it's
a lot of people. Yeah. You know, you have to manage
a
lot.
Let me be even more transparent. It took a lot of bumping my head to understand what my actual situation is, because, you know, I'm thinking like, okay, you look at my education, you look at what I'm actually doing, they're tailor-made for each other. You look at the, you know, the nature of the advanced degree that I'll have very soon. It's tailor-made.
Mm-hmm.
I should be on a springboard. You understand what I'm saying?
Right.
The trajectory of my career should be a lot further along than what it is. I mean, do I make very good money? I mean, to some people, yes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, do I have the commensurate stress that goes along with it? Fuck yeah. You understand what I'm saying?
Right.
So it's like, you know, where is the balance had to come by me understanding that, okay, they don't really either, because I don't want to say that they perceive me as a threat, even though that may be it.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, it's like you have to know this shit ain't going nowhere.
Right.
You know, but there's some other things that I'm getting out of it.
Yeah.
That make sense for me to actually be there. You know what I'm saying? I mean, there's some very tangible benefits to me being there.
Right.
Other than a paycheck.
Okay.
You see what I'm saying? So that's why I'm there. So and the good thing about it is that the people that I work for know that as well. So there's kind of a mutual understanding. But
that's good. Yeah. And yeah, that,
but they're smart enough not to say, hey, look, nigga, you ain't going. Damn, I said nigga. Damn.
Yep, in a jar.
Damn.
But yeah, that's why I was saying, as far as know your worth and your value, what you can get out of it, and understanding that they know what type of value you can bring. Because if you don't bring, because essentially what you just told me is that you really do bring yourself to work. Because if they know, you know, Fresh is, you know, we understand, you know, where he is and his role or what have you, but maybe promotion is not in the near future, whatever, at least that makes me know that there's some level of communication that you have.
There's nowhere to folks. There's nowhere to promote me. Let's put it like that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I hear you.
There's nowhere to promote.
I've been in that sort of dead end glass ceiling type of situation myself, man.
Right.
But so as we work at these places, man, what is it that we can take and use and benefit for our family, for our community, for others, like on podcasts, like right now, what is it that we can share with folks, is, you know, that can sort of uplift or educate, just small little gems.
Man, I'm gonna tell you one thing that really, and this may or may not be on topic, man, but I'm gonna tell you something that really, really pisses me off, man.
What's that?
As black people, because, you know, we're a pro-black podcast, you know, if motherfuckers haven't figured that shit out.
Yeah.
One thing that really bothers me about black people is that they marry themselves to their fucking jobs, bro. And I don't understand the mentality. You know, I understand that, hey, look, I went to college. I want to get the best job possible. You know, you may have to have, you know, a job to, you know, to pay your bills or whatever, you know. But I think it's unhealthy, especially as a black person, when you're trying to liberate your mind and your spirit from the from the system of white supremacy, to attach yourself to any type of employment when you identify and you take worth, if you take self-worth out of what you do,
right,
instead of what you actually are. And I see a lot of us doing that shit, man. Like I said, maybe on topic, may not be on topic, but I really feel like that.
No,
man,
that's right on topic.
We need to disconnect our worth based on what we do.
Right. Don't let
If you're making paper. I mean, because I know some people that are making some real, and when I say real paper, I mean like, you know, for a 9-to-5 job making, you know, $300,000-$400,000. I know some people personally in my phone that are making some real serious paper.
Well, certainly.
Some of the people think that that's them. But then I know a couple people that are just like, this shit's here right now, but it could be gone tomorrow. I'm just riding it out. You know, and I feel like that the majority of us need to understand that if somebody can pay you $100,000 a year, what type of enterprise are you working for? What type of money are they really holding? And that you need to understand that, you know, it doesn't matter how many figures you got behind your name, but that you are dispensable.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, that shit can really change, and that you need to find self-worth in doing other things, finding your passion. Not necessarily have to find a side hustle, but find something that you can get paid at to where maybe you don't have to go to work. I mean, business, man. I mean, that's the thing that we need to really be talking about to us.
Yeah.
Is saying, hey, look, you don't necessarily always got to work for somebody. That can be part of the process.
Right.
Because in some instances, we need to learn how business works. We need to kind of sharpen our swords on the plane of professionalism. We need to understand how to interact with certain people. We need to know how to negotiate. We need to know how to have customer service. We need to do a lot of different things. So having a job is not, and I don't want people, a job is a blessing. When you can pay your bills, any way that you can do that in a legal manner is a blessing. So I don't want people to get it fucked up. But what I'm saying is when you draw your self-worth from what you do from 9-to-5, you right. have a fucking problem.
Yeah.
It's a problem.
Yeah, and I think with black families, especially like with single mothers, people who are, you know, we got the mentality of I gotta do what I gotta do. That's the black mantra, really, for years. Has been for decades. I mean, we've been in some situations forced into, and some that we, you know, sort of fall into and don't know how we got there. But like you said, it's a mentality, and especially if you think of integration, you know, not to really get off topic, but, you know, hey, yeah, I want to work for this large corporation or this company.
None of us down there. I want to be the one down.
Yeah.
I want to be the one working there.
Yeah.
That's that house mentality though, bro.
Yeah.
I mean, when you're starting from nothing and you get something, it's when you perceive it to be something, it's a different type of type of reaction. So I get it. I'm just saying, I get it.
I tip my hat to those who have done things to open the, at least open doors
right.
of opportunity though. I will, you know, I will give credit to some of those in, you know, in the past, and maybe those who continue to look out, say, hey, I'm in it. Let me make the most of it.
Right.
You know, I see a bunch of blacks, like on my job, I've seen blacks who, well, quite frankly, are in the wrong seat. You know, they've went through college. Maybe they even have a master's and they sitting in a $30,000 chair doing a job,
yeah,
where they could be making three times that.
Right.
You know, depending on in the company. And, you know, I've been a part of initiatives to say, hey, let's expose, you know, certain groups and certain teams, and me knowing it's 80% black, hey, let's expose these teams to other jobs in the bank. When people think of a bank, they just think of the store you walk into, to the teller, and maybe in the back you talk to a, you know, a manager or a real estate person about a mortgage or a small business loan or something. It is a, it's a lot of opportunity in bank, a lot of other departments.
They even got things. Freaking supply chain in banks now, bro.
So yeah, I mean, it's an enterprise, mm-hmm. and it's very comprehensive, and there are a lot of opportunities. And so if you can be a conduit for others in whatever your profession, your industry is, and you say, hey, I'm in it, damn it, let me try to give back and help somebody. Definitely help some other brothers and sisters if you're in that position to do that. And so that was another point in the book, was about giving back as well.
That's something that we need to do on, I mean, to be honest with you, man, that's something that we need to do on every level, regardless of the,
that's right,
regardless of the success, quote unquote, perceived success level, because you never know who you can affect from the seat that you hold, like right now.
You never know.
It has to be a mentality that's,
yeah,
that we operate. It's, we have to be, like we say, on code.
Right. You're right.
You know what I'm saying? And some people are going to, I mean, you can't live somebody's life for them, and you can't make them absorb information, but it's like, you know, you put your hand out there. If they slap it away, okay, fine, move on. But if you try to feed them something and they eat and be like, hey, teach me how to make that, then you know that that's the person that you need to be fucking with. If not, you kind of move on.
I agree, man. And just do good. You know what I'm saying? Just do good. I was at my father retired from, he worked for the county in Parks and Rec. I don't know. It's been about 20 years now. So, and not even that long. But anyway, I was at his retirement thing that they gave him for the company. And he was almost in tears because of the different people who had like thanked him. And he couldn't even remember who they were. Hey, thanks. You gave me my first job, or you interviewed me. You gave me a chance when, you know, other people didn't, type of thing. And he was in a position where he could hire people and hire definitely a lot of black folks and put them to work and sort of get their career started. And so, you know, that's intangible stuff you can't really pay for.
Right.
And, you know, so give back and just do good, because, you know, it'll come back to you in different forms. So, but essentially, man, that's what I wanted to really share. Listeners, hit us back on some feedback as far as like maybe some experiences you have and just advice, tips, or whatever. It'd be something maybe we could share at another point, point in time, or share out on social media. And just, you know, maybe just sort of trade stories or what have you, because we all have different stories and experiences as we go through, you know, try to go through life and try to figure this thing out, especially in the workplace.
I will say this, though, man. One skill that black folks generally learn very quickly is how to code switch.
Yeah.
That's something that you learn almost instantaneously.
Yeah, it's like an innate gift.
Right, right.
That you, yeah, you're right.
Dude, I switch from fresh to my government name, like,
yeah, in a heartbeat. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
For sure, man.
That's what it is, man. So, once again, ladies and gentlemen, in addition to Apple Podcasts, the podcast is now available on Google Podcasts, Spotify, SoundCloud, Stitcher, and CastBox, with more outlets to come in the future. Also, man, we're on Podbean. You can download that app. Podbean, Podbean. Download the app. You can listen for free, if I'm not mistaken. You can follow the podcast on that. You can also connect with us on the social media platforms on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at ICBW Podcast. Be sure to like, comment, follow, subscribe, and all that shit. You can also check us out on our website at ICBWPodcast.com. That is ICBWPodcast.com. Be on the lookout for the merchandise store that is coming. It is coming. I gave Reg his shirt today.
Oh, yeah.
What'd you think of that, bro?
Man, yeah, shit was fresh, man. Just to see your face on a shirt, it's like, yeah, come on, man.
So we're going to be putting that out there, man. How much is this going to sell for? $25?
$25. $25 and 2 cents, man.
$25.01. Shipping included, man. So for being a buster, man, go ahead and copy one. It's going to be up online.
It's quality shirt.
Yeah, I mean, it's real shit. It's nice and soft and shit and everything. And then you got our handsome mugs on this shit. But But yeah, we appreciate your support in advance, man. For everything that that we have been doing. The listenership is growing by leaps and bounds. Our following is not as big as some of the other ones on by the numbers on Instagram and Facebook. But when I look at these listens, we're making a dent, man, and people are really checking for us, and we definitely appreciate that. We humbly accept the praise and the criticism at the same time and in the same vein with the same seriousness. So, we appreciate you. Hit us up, 704-946-6060, 704-946-6060. If you want to leave a voicemail or send a text, we appreciate that. We respond to everything. And again, man, we appreciate y'all rocking with us, man. We're going to keep doing it, man.
Be good, be safe, and behave, brother.
All right, man, we out.
I could be wrong, but I doubt it. So don't enter this debate if you ain't about it. Reflection and introspect. Make sure that you come correct, and you should probably hurry. It gets crowded. Bring a friend with you. I could be wrong, but I doubt it. Don't enter this debate if you ain't about it. Reflection and introspect. Make sure that you come correct, and you should hurry up. It might get crowded. Bring a friend with you. Expression Reds, their curators are cool. The culture and consciousness brought directly to you. Tune in every week for the newest anew and occasional politics as it pertains to you. Divergent point of views make for a whole picture, and we suggest you get your money up and take the shit with you. Ain't no fountain to you, but it's a secret elixir to ensure the black man as a permanent fixture. Standing here in America behind enemy lines, where more often than not my skin's considered a crime. Cops kill us daily and will never do time, while a crooked ass justice has the fate for mine. One day at a time is what my mama would say, and since mama said living ain't no time to play, and since I got a little game, I'ma give it away. But let's start the show before I get carried away. I could be wrong, but I doubt it. So don't enter this debate if you ain't bout it. Reflection and introspect. Make sure that you come correct, and you should probably hurry. It gets crowded. Bring a friend with you. I could be wrong, but I doubt it. Don't enter this debate if you ain't bout it. Reflection and introspect. Make sure that you come correct, and you should hurry up. It might get crowded. Bring a friend with you.
You just tuned in to I Could Be Wrong, But I Doubt It, hosted by Fresh and Reg. Holla back next week.